If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Anderson, and welcome to The Road Not Taken, how ordinary people got out of their own way, and you can too. That's the whole point of this, right? I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Brian Dalmasso. He originally started in the engineering world, working for General Electrics, then worked in product development in over 20 different industries, went on to start his own company, a design-build firm called BMK Associates, and that taste of entrepreneurship has led to him starting and developing 12 companies and revenue streams in that range from construction and software to gaming, energy, and travel. So no one-size niche market for Brian. And he's led all of them to high-ranking success and lucrative return. Now, here's where it gets most relevant for our conversations, although in both ways. So pivotal point in Brian's life was when he was introduced to the book Think and Grow Rich. Hundreds of books later, Brian is now working with Bob Proctor and teaching the wealth mindset to entrepreneurs and corporations. That's going to be the focus of our conversation today. Brian, really, really glad you could join us today.
Yeah, Matt, thanks so much for having us. Your podcast is amazing, and I was just really thrilled when you reached out and we connected and got to learn a little bit more about each other. We're very similar mindsets, looking to help a lot of people with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And God knows I was stuck for a good 4 decades before getting in front of the right information. So thanks for having us.
Well, good. That makes me feel better because I'm 52. So anyway, to bring it back to you. So, I mean, if you had to sort of pick one thing that you think's helped you the most in terms of getting out of your own way, what would you say that is?
Sure. I mean, the one main thing, and I'm glad you asked that, is it's actually two things, but it's the same subject, is for me, it was finding a mentor. And I kind of bumped into a mentor. That's why it wasn't so much of a choice as it was a chance meeting, you know, or an attraction. Bumped into Bob Proctor. So having a mentor, a human being that could shortcut the learning experience. You know, people read books. I've read books, and you can read books till you're blue in the face. But a lot of times, or most times, what I've found is finding a mentor, and then also a proven system. You know, Bob's teachings are not, it's not his information. He's been studying for 60 years, and it's really the mindsets of how people like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison. It's the universal principles that control or govern the world we live in. So Bob's just been a really good student of timeless information. And with me working with him, I'm able to download and compress 60 years of study, you know, into about a 2-year period. So I think it's a proven system, number one. And then finding a mentor that's demonstrated by their results that they know how to use the information.
So what light bulb went off for you when you read Think and Grow Rich?
Oh boy, that's a good one. There's many, many light bulbs in there. But quite honestly, it was the fact that none of that information was taught in schools. If I had to zero it down, I was like, how do we go through school with no courses on decision or self-image, right? Or you know, understanding the subconscious mind. I mean, if we just taught classes on self-image at a young age in the schools, people would start off with on such a better foot. So I think the big light bulb was there. It's like, how does this book exist and it's not in the schools itself, you know?
I do think it's fascinating. And I've read the book, you know, a few times myself, how, you know, it sounds like a lot of people dismissed it because when it was written in the 30s, there wasn't any scientific proof behind it. And I do find it fascinating that this century, with the technology and neuroscience, so much of that has now been demonstrated. I think that's kind of an interesting shift. It took probably people in the, you know, the decades of the 1900s to take much more of a leap of faith into buying into it, although they had some great role models to do that. You mentioned self-image. It just sort of caught my attention. You know, so what have you learned there that you think is missing, let's say, in the schools in terms of teaching?
Sure. I mean, I think what happens is, and I didn't know any of this, is whenever you have a desire to achieve anything or create something or create a certain life, you really have to build the self-image, the subconscious self-image of what that is long before you ever achieve it. If somebody's a realtor and they want to be a 7-figure earner in real estate, they need to model somebody that's already done it. They need to pull those characteristics in, and they need to do that in a repetitive manner to kind of reshape the image of what they have, because the subconscious mind is what causes the body to move into action. So it's that subconscious self-image, and we all have two images. It's the one we project, but then we have the real one that we go to sleep at night with. We look in the mirror, and you can't get away from that. And this is why, you know, young girls and young boys in grade school and high school have all these self-image issues. But they're not, we're identifying this, say, yes, it's a self-image issue, but we're not doing anything about it in the schools. So when you read a book like Think and Grow Rich, or when you work through some of the programs we have, and you have a roadmap, first of all, identifying awareness. You have to be aware of what a self-image is before you can alter it, right? And then, well, how do you alter it is the other thing. And we teach something called the actor's technique. And if you want to see how powerful this is, just look at the actor Heath Ledger. He played the role of the Joker in the Batman movies.
Okay,
and,
sure.
Right? He read a script over and over. He became the Joker. See, good actors don't act. They become. And he became that part so well by repetitively reading a script. He became so dark for so long that he couldn't pull out of it, and eventually he committed suicide right after that movie.
Oh, right.
Okay, right? So we've all seen these actors that they're so good. It's like they're not acting. They become those roles. And that's really what we teach people. And that's how powerful it is, right? When you change that self-image, you can literally become anything you want, but it takes obviously a lot of study and hard work.
I was going to say, I mean, so talk about that script piece, because, I mean, I will speak personally, that's been probably one of my bigger challenges. I've certainly been probably as guilty as many people where I've tried, you know, I've dabbled. And again, not to make myself totally weak and, you know, not for just a couple of days, but I talk about that process, mm-hmm. not of how it works. Not, although I suppose listeners may or may not know that, but it's more this persistence piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's a realistic time frame for many people to need to put in to really shift that thinking, or to influence, you know, the subconscious, that non-thinking mind, into becoming that person? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, the time frame is something that we call until, right? Because everybody's different. Now, some people can shift the paradigm overnight, instantly. Other people might take 3 years, and I've seen everything in between. It depends on the level of desire. So I coach my students to develop the faith and the understanding. I'm going to do this until. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. This is a life change. This is not a Band-Aid, right? And when we teach somebody to create their life script, what you're really doing is a set of affirmations, you know, affirming things that you want. I'm so happy and grateful now that I live in a perfectly healthy body. Or I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm earning in excess of $100,000 a month from multiple revenue sources. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we teach people to string all these together and to speak it into a voice loop recorder, almost like a meditation. So when I'm coaching somebody through this, I teach them to be grateful for the things we have, a healthy body, hot running water, or in the United States or wherever, you know. But for the most part, we're doing well, and we don't acknowledge that. And then the second part is sort of the mind, body, spirit thing. I live in a healthy body. I have a perfect relationship. And you're really painting that future picture as if it already existed. That's why you call it a life script. It's scripting out life the way you want it. If you want a home in Maui, if you want 2.5 kids and a white picket fence, you know, whatever it is that you want, the reality is we can program our subconscious mind to cause our body to create anything. It's our limiting beliefs, or what we call a paradigm, that stops us.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Sure.
If you or I grew up with Richard Branson as a father, and you grew up in that environment, right? Your mindset would be wide open to create companies all over the world. You wouldn't think twice about it. Your programming would be such of a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Most of us grew up, you know, 97% of people grew up kind of in a common or the masses sort of a environment. So we're kind of programmed that way, you know. So some people can do this really quickly. Others, you might need to do it for a while. But what I do personally is I listen every single morning to my own life script, which is me talking to myself. For 2 hours, from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., right? So I have you'll find that the top 1% of wealthiest people, they have a morning ritual.
Sure.
Right? So I get up at 4 a.m., I put my life script in, it's me talking to myself about all my companies, all these things, and already having come to fruition, right? And it's and then I make my coffee, and then I drive to the gym. By 5 o'clock, I'm at the gym, and I get on the cycle, and I cycle for an hour, and I'm still listening to that life script. And what I found is my body's exercising, but I'm kind of meditating. See the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are not our bodies. We're a spirit living in a body. So I find, you know, I actually shut my eyes for a whole hour, and listen to that. And you can listen to anything. You can listen to yourself. You could listen to some good Jim Rohn or educational stuff or Bob Proctor, whatever it is that moves you to rewire that subconscious thinking. But that it's a process like that. And then I work out for an hour. So by 7 a.m., my mind, body, and soul, I'm on a very high vibration using this thing we call a life script, you know. So that's and anybody can do that. It's free software. They can do that right now, and they can start to alter their perception and alter their self-image.
So how long have you been doing that?
Like I just described, about a year. Before that, I kind of had a written life script. It started off as a notepad in my phone, because I understand how the subconscious mind, if we want to change something, we need to affirm it from our conscious to our subconscious in a repetitive manner. So I started doing that maybe 2 years ago. And then, you know, 5 years ago, I only had one company, one revenue stream. So this is not, I went 43 years rowing the same boat of ignorance as everybody else. I had superior knowledge as an architect and an engineer, but inferior results. You know, for a 43-year-old guy, I just had my construction company. We were doing about $1 million a year, which may sound good, but for 43 years old in America, that's broke, in my opinion, especially given the superior knowledge and drive, right? So it wasn't until I got that roadmap from Think and Grow Rich and from Bob where it kind of said, okay, do this, this, and this. And it's funny you mentioned that about Think and Grow Rich, that people might have thought that book was ethereal in the 20s because it's based on scientific principles, universal laws like the perpetual transmutation of energy or the law of cause and effect or polarity. Those are all universal laws, just like gravity and electricity and magnetism. So it struck me funny when you were saying that, and it's true. When that book first came out, they said there was no science behind it, but the whole book's based on science.
Yeah, right. Funny, yeah. No, So you've been doing this for 2 years, and how has it helped you so far?
Well, I mean, the evidence would be in the companies. I mean, I live in a 48-year-old guy with a six pack. I'm in pretty good shape because my body's just a series of decisions, right? The body's just a physical manifestation of what the mind's thinking. So I have a perfectly healthy body. I have beautiful relationships. My 22-year-old daughter has been in this information for a while. She's the VP of sales for our company. She's a top earner in a network marketing company, and she has two other revenue streams. So it's not just me, it's a ripple effect. And then, like I said, we've gone from one company, which is construction, to about a dozen revenue streams and businesses, and with a CEO of four companies. And it's just affirming all this stuff. It's not rocket science, right? People are being programmed every day. They just don't realize. We're being brainwashed every single day. Most of it's by our coworkers, our friends, our family. We're taking financial advice from people that are broke. We're taking marital advice from people that are not doing well in their marriages. That's not advice. That's just opinions. So for me, one of the things I do in business is I don't even listen to anybody in business if they're not a multi-hundred millionaire or a billionaire, like Bob or Richard Branson or Damon John's one of my mentors. So we gotta be careful who we're letting creep into our subconscious mind. All we're doing here is making a decision about the information that's going to go into our subconscious. That's really what the life script is.
So is it fair to say you hit a pain point that prompted you to make the change? Because what you've done is almost unheard of. I mean, in terms of the amount. I mean, it's funny. I thought I'd been around, this world in terms of personal development 25 years. I don't think I've never met anyone that would put in, is putting in 2 hours of their. I mean, I've heard of the concept of certainly listening to your own audio, but not for. I mean, I was thinking you meant like a minute or something like that. But talk about what prompted the change. I mean, you must have. Was it a severe point of unhappiness or frustration?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I've never really been unhappy. I've been very blessed. Even when I've been broke or I've been divorced twice. But what happened was, I think it was a financial dissatisfaction. And Bob always says that dissatisfaction is the mother of invention, right? Everything that's ever been invented comes from dissatisfaction. So that's a healthy thing. But I've always been blessed. Like I said, I'm healthy and I've always been happy. But, 43 years old, twice divorced, what I call American broke, like I said, being that age and just cracking six figures is nothing too impressive. And I've always known that, what's the secret sauce? Why do people with inferior knowledge that I knew personally, why are they multimillionaires? So I think it was a level of dissatisfaction financially. And it caused me to pursue a revenue stream, which led me to Bob Proctor. And then from there, it just really, you know, I found the book Think and Grow Rich and just became a really serious student, you know.
That's definitely what it sounds like. What I really want to talk about is moving from, and I want to learn all you've got to share about the subconscious and,
sure.
and how it relates to money, but talk about how for you it's transitioned into action.
Yeah, understanding the subconscious mind is key. Now, there are people that are unconscious competents. Richard Branson would be one of them. He's very, very mm-hmm. successful. He probably can't articulate at a deep level why, at the root cause. Most people are like that. Will Smith, Warren Buffett, these are all unconscious competents. And I don't know why, and Bob doesn't know why. We don't know why some people are just kind of born with that inner understanding. But it's like one out of a million people. So what we've come across and what Bob's done is he's cracked the code on this knowledge and put it in a duplicatable roadmap that we teach so that everybody, even if you had 40 years in one direction, can learn about the subconscious mind and how to change it. So what's really going on is consciously we have desires. Consciously we want to get to six figures a month, or consciously we want financial security. But the conscious mind is not what controls the body. It's the subconscious mind.
Right.
96% of what we do is habitual in nature, and that comes from the subconscious mind. So once we have that awareness, it's like, okay, my subconscious mind is driving the ship. Then you got to say, well, how is that programmed? Now, most people would say, well, I haven't done anything to program it. But they don't realize that from age zero, it was their parents, their environment, grade school, mm-hmm. high school, college, mm-hmm. their experiences. You know, they might take a chance in real estate and get kicked in the teeth and then curl up in a ball. I'm not doing that again. That's just information. An entrepreneur knows that that's not failure. That's just feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend money to go to college, so sometimes you have to spend money to learn things in the real world, right? It's no different. So just the awareness of saying, okay, I need to reprogram my subconscious mind. Just that little switch. And then the other thing is not to beat ourselves up. It's not anybody here's fault that's listening that they are where they are unless they've gotten in front of this material, because we're not taught in school how to program ourselves, how to follow our passions, right? How to turn our passion into a monetized career. We're just kind of, well, think about it. You go through grade school and high school, you get a little bit of math, a little bit of English, a little bit of history, right? They're literally teaching you and programming you to become a teacher. If you want to become a rocket scientist like Elon Musk or like Bob Proctor dropped out of high school in, I think he went to 2 months of high school. It didn't resonate. I mean, Steve Jobs, he tripped on acid out of college. So people that are unconscious competence, they tend to reject the school system. Thomas Edison was kicked out, I think, in the sixth grade or something. He was labeled unteachable. Mm-hmm. Right? So those people, you'll see, they reject that framework, that construct of, you know, sit down, stop daydreaming, one and one is two, A, B, C, D, right? And I'm not saying anything about the school systems. They're doing the best they can with very limited resources, and they're vastly underpaid. But it's been the same model in the United States for 105 years, mm-hmm. you know. So what we teach and what you find entrepreneurs and people like yourself is we seek knowledge from other places. They call it personal development. What that is, mm-hmm. is just seeking knowledge from people that are actually doing it, you know. A high school teacher making $50,000 a year cannot teach little Johnny to make $100,000 a day as an entrepreneur, right? And that even, I see you smiling, that idea even sounds bizarre, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm laughing for multiple reasons, right? I used to be a school teacher. I'm from a family of school teachers.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it's an intensely frustrating topic because I think everybody has a different opinion about what's useful, but it's absolutely, I mean, I do agree with what you're saying that, you know, unfortunately, yeah, most teachers are certainly very well-intentioned, but they're people that did quite well in school. Mm-hmm. And so it's this sort of, yeah, you know, ongoing cycle, and then of course, especially with the rate of change in our culture, I think education systems in general are the slowest to be able to move with the times. But partly because of the people that are in it, you know, they've not had the life experience that the rest of the culture needs in order to be leaders to help them be prepared. And I think maybe inevitably education systems will always be behind because of that. You know, the entrepreneurs and the business leaders and the other service providers in other key areas, key science key scientists and so on. I mean, all of those people are going to be out there doing it, mm-hmm. And a lot less of them are going to be teaching it. Anyway, but so what is it then besides the, I mean, are there other pieces to the roadmap besides listening to your own voice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's just one small piece that we teach. And I want to get back to the teachers because I actually have the utmost respect for teachers. They're the most underpaid, underappreciated group of people, and it's not their fault either. What we should be doing is paying $1 million a year in salary to our teachers instead of to NBA stars and football stars, right? And there's nothing wrong with sports. So it's just, you know, you don't attract at $40,000 a year getting too many students to teach. You're just not, you don't attract, mm-hmm. you know? So you end up getting a group of people that want to help kids, and that's their thing. But then they give them no resources and no pay to do it. And, you know, we should be leveraging the internet. You could have a teacher making $1 million a year teaching 500 students on the internet, mm-hmm. right? So I have the utmost respect for teachers, and I give them credit because they're taking on a job for peanuts because they love kids and they want to give back, you know? But, yeah, getting back to the subconscious mind, that the life script is one small, small piece. Obviously, you need a roadmap. And we teach a bunch of that stuff. You know, vision boards, a lot of people think vision boards are ethereal and kind of a hokey thing. And you can't see it, but I have an 8-foot vision board here. I have another 8-foot vision board there. Human beings think in pictures. Mm-hmm. We don't think in words. We don't think in script. The English language that I'm speaking right now is just energy. The only reason you understand is you've been programmed to. It's just noise. Everything I'm telling you, it paints a picture in your mind. So since we think in pictures, that's why vision boards work. We put pictures of the future house, the future company. You know, if somebody wants to develop a real estate company, I always coach them, well, go find a brokerage that has 500 agents and, you know, take some pictures of their facilities and then change the label to be yours and put that on your vision board. Now, it's not magic. It's just you look at the picture, it causes you to think. It makes you pick up the phone and start calling people. It's in your face, you know. So vision boards are another thing that works. You want to paint the picture of the future as if it's already happened. And then for us, obviously, we have something called Thinking in the Results, which is a 6-month study program with a 12-part lesson, everything from goal setting and closing the knowing-doing gap, the subconscious mind, self-image is a lesson for a 2-week lesson, overcoming the terror barrier, which is overcoming fear and procrastination, mastermind principles. That's how I formed my software company, is understanding mastermind principles. I don't know anything about software, but I don't need to, because I understand the mastermind principles. I get an idea, you pull people together in harmony using those principles, and the next thing you know, you have a company. Mm-hmm. So that study program we have, Thinking in the Results, is it's basically the compilation of Bob's 60 years of training in a 6-month program. And that's why I say mentorship and a proven system is what does it.
And what's driving you? Because it sounds like you're in a good place right now.
Sure. Yeah, what's driving me is wanting to get this information out to the world. We set some pretty hefty goals. My goal is to become a multi-billionaire so I can take this information and get it out to the masses. Mm-hmm. When I started to come across this and really realize what it is, I was a little frustrated. How are you 43 years old in America and not getting in front of this information? So now it's kind of become a game and a challenge to see how big we can play this game called life and how much wealth we can build. But I mean, you only need so much money. I've done the math. I only need about 20 million to do everything that I've ever wanted to do, right? So the rest of that is really geared towards either creating charter schools or a system. And we have some things that are already in motion. We have something called the Matrix Mindset Academy, which is where we're teaching this content on Facebook for 67 cents a day so that literally millions of people around the world can afford that. So we're already taking steps towards some of these dreams that I thought were going to be much later in life. But that's what's driving me, is really helping other people connect the dots.
That's an amazing vision. I mean, obviously that must have grown over time.
Absolutely.
Can you sort of talk through how you've connected some of those dots in terms
sure.
of goals and ambitions? And also, when you say we, who are you talking about?
Sure. No, I'd love to, because if you would have known me 5 years ago, you probably would have probably labeled me selfish. I mean, most of the people that know me, I don't mean selfish in a bad way, but certainly not I'm here to save the planet, right? You know, I was about me and my family. I think most people are. Most people are they're so consumed, and rightly so, with just trying to make ends meet, just trying to keep the house going, the kids, the college, that we never have the bandwidth to start thinking outside of our own head and other people. Well, for me, once I started, I originally started pursuing this information purely from a financial point of view. Like, I wanted to become a millionaire. I wanted to stop worrying about really anything financially. So it was a selfish motivation. And when I started working with Bob, I just fell in love with the material. We had so much success so fast. Like, I was able to grow my company, my one company at the time, from $1 million to $10 million in 12 months. And then it was just it was a paradigm shift. I fell in love with the material. And I just got to get this out to the mass. I understand why Bob fell in love with teaching. Because you're able to take somebody that could be 40 years one way, and within a 6 month, actually a couple of weeks even, just shift everything in their world. And I find that the people that we teach also then want to teach it. It's like a ripple effect. So this wasn't part of a childhood dream. I never thought I'd be in this mentorship role, this coaching role. It's become my life purpose. You know, when we ask people, like, why are you on this planet? Well, that's why I'm here. It's to help perpetuate life and really teach and coach other people. And it's when you find that reason, life becomes what I call living a heavenly life. You wake up with purpose, you know.
And it sounds like what helped your business grow from 1 to 10 million. In other words, I mean, there are lots of, well, there aren't lots, but I know there are other courses out there where you learn business strategy, you know, marketing techniques and so on and so forth. And I'm guessing that's not what you learned, right?
Not at all. Yeah, that's a good point, because you can take a real estate course from Robert Kiyosaki. You can take a Tony Robbins course. You can take a Landmark course. Most of that is going to be largely ineffective if we don't understand the foundational reasons of, like, why we don't do the things we know we should be doing. Right? There's something in the subconscious. It's a lesson called the knowing-doing gap. Most people know that they shouldn't be drinking soda, they shouldn't be smoking, they shouldn't be eating Dunkin' Donuts. And those habits will literally kill somebody over time, if you think about it. You know, having two donuts a day for 50 years at the Dunkin' Donuts will kill you over time. Or certainly it'll shortcut your lifespan at the end, right? So we have all these things that we know we should be doing, but why don't we do them? Right? It's because we, human beings in general, we don't understand this programming, this paradigm that I'm talking to you about. So the first thing we got to do if we want to succeed at anything is rewire that programming. And again, people like Richard Branson or Warren Buffett, they already had the good programming. For whatever reason, their environment or whatever it was, or their inner intuition, they were kind of born with that really healthy paradigm, is what we call it. Well, for the rest of us, what we have to do is kind of unwire what we've learned and rewire it back in. You know, nobody's born depressed. Nobody's born with a bad self-image. That gets programmed in over time into the subconscious. But here's the good news, right? Anything that can be programmed in can be programmed out. Even things like PTSD, anxiety, depression, we teach people very quickly to lose stress, anxiety, and depression without meds. Because we give them an understanding and awareness. Say, listen, you're not broken. You weren't born depressed. This was all programmed in from your environment over time. And as long as you can bite off on that, we can take it. We can take somebody by the hand and unprogram that and put back in. Unless somebody has mental brain damage, like a physical brain damage, you know, that's different.
Yeah. Are you familiar with James Clear's work at all on habits?
Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah, I haven't read it, but I have heard of that name.
Yeah. Because it's interesting, because he, well, my first impression is that he's talking about not the same thing, but the same results. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he uses the word non-conscious mind, but he doesn't talk about it much. It's not the focus of his work. His focus is more around the doing part, but he explains in terms of micro habits. But his point at the beginning of the book is you know, you're not going to make any shifts until you start to change your identity about how you see yourself. Mm-hmm. But his recommendation is, I guess, all I'm trying to say is I'm trying to get your opinion, really. But it sounds easier in the sense of the first question. You know, so the first question to ask yourself is, who do you want to be? And then if you can start to sort of increment, in other words, just keep it simple. So if I'm 50 pounds overweight and I want to be healthy, and I continually ask myself throughout the day, is this something a healthy person would do? Again, in micro steps, I'm going to incrementally start to make better choices and ultimately get where I want to go. And so anyway, it sounds like it's in that regard. And also what's going through my head, I just want to just kind of, this is how my brain works, is I'm reminded of a book that talks about somewhat similar principles. Again, it's more like this 1% notion of making gradual changes. But the easiest example I can give you, I don't know if you've heard of David Beckham or not. You probably have. He's a well-known football soccer player.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, again, he too became phenomenally successful with free kicks, not because he worked on his subconscious mind, but because he practiced thousands of times.
Yeah.
So that's what I was asking about. What you were talking about, like this knowing doing gap. So I guess he just went out and did it. And so, as you said, I suppose ultimately he became an unconscious competent in that regard, so that he developed nerves of steel because he'd practiced kicks so many mm-hmm. times that when he was in high pressure situations, he'd sometimes come through with goals. So can you talk more about the knowing doing gap? Because ultimately sure. I think that's what this is. That's what I feel like it's not my exclusive life purpose, because I don't think it's just about getting into action. I mean, the other thing that I've found, and I think this completely aligns with what you have experienced, is that most people pretty much accomplish what anyone could have predicted of them when they were born based on where they grew up. In mm-hmm. other words, I think most people are socially conditioned to expect to get to a certain point in life, and that's what most people do. And so it's just this tiny percent of people that seem to break through, and that's the piece I'm most fascinated in,
sure.
is how you know, the different ways, I guess, that you break through.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that the biggest thing to influence is the subconscious mind. Is mm-hmm. that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I resonate with everything you're saying. And what you're talking about with the micro habits, there's also a book called Atomic Habits.
And that's the book.
Okay, yeah, 100% in line.
That is the book.
Yeah,
yes.
I've read that. That's 100% on point. If you guys want to start to understand this stuff, he's talking about the same exact stuff through a different lens.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's identical to what we teach through a different lens. And it's true, and you want to see, if you want to become a multimillionaire, let's say, then you want to institute the micro habit of a life script every morning. It's such an easy thing to do. It's not rocket science, and an easy thing. And it starts conditioning your subconscious mind to put the body into action. And when you're talking about David Beckham kicking, you think that he's physically practicing, but what he's doing is he's conditioning his subconscious mind to drive his body through repetition. The reason why he's good under pressure is because he doesn't have to think. Thinking is the conscious mind. Now it's become a habit. Well, the habit is the subconscious mind. So even though it looks like he's doing a physical act, what he's really doing is wiring his subconscious mind to drive his body no matter what the outside circumstances is. Right? He may have 10 people coming at him. It doesn't matter. His subconscious takes over. Accesses a program called kicking, and he hits the shot. So even what he's doing is really a subconscious thing. He just doesn't know that. Right now, what drives him is desire. He doesn't just want to be a good soccer player. He wants to be the best soccer player in the world. Same thing as like a Michael Jordan. So desire is always what's going to drive somebody. Right.
And so the other things going through my head. So desire too.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there aren't that many people that are really driven. And sometimes I believe that, and other times I think that everyone on the planet wants to be, do, and have more in their life.
Mm.
They just, you know, don't believe they deserve it, and so they tend to give up quickly. That's what I tend to think.
You hit it right on the head. I was just going to talk about that. You absolutely yes. nailed it, because it's belief.
Yeah.
If people don't believe they can get to X, it limits their desire. Now, when we work with somebody, when we show them how the mind-body connection, the subconscious mind works, and that they can literally achieve anything, because people are built, we're success-seeking mechanisms. We're literally built to succeed. It's our paradigm and the limiting beliefs through age 0 through like 21, you know what I mean, those years in school, where we get conditioned to have limiting beliefs. So it's kind of a catch-22, because we lose desire because we don't believe we can accomplish it. So if you show somebody that, listen, this is how Steve Jobs thinks, this is how Thomas Edison thinks. We're visionaries. They didn't have limiting beliefs. Matter of fact, Steve Jobs really built everything off of other people's backs, but he was such a strong visionary, right? He didn't have the limiting beliefs that I can do anything. He had like a God complex almost, right? Probably in an unhealthy way. But there's somewhere in between where everybody is and where Steve Jobs is that's healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can just show people, like, listen, you don't need to know how to get to $1 million a year. Matter of fact, if you knew how, you'd already be there. So you got to surrender to the fact that you're never going to know how. You just have to develop a belief that it's possible. Once you start to play with that, desire starts to come back up. And desire is the thing that pushes people to be whatever, you know, to operate at a very high level. So it's kind of like a catch-22. The society and the school systems, and again, nothing against school, it's just a construct, it tends to limit desire because it's like, well, I'm not going to break out. I'm not going to – it's all based on test-taking, and I'm only a C student. Well, Steve Jobs is a C student. Like I said, Thomas Edison failed out of school. Bob Proctor flunked out of everything. It's the C-type students that run the world. Richard Branson, like labeled ADD. You start to play with this stuff and educate people. What you're doing is building awareness. And when somebody starts to become aware of what, who and what they are, then the desire comes up. And then they might, like I said, they might invest in a coaching program and get with somebody that's demonstrated by the results that you can really do anything with the right information and then that desire. But what you were saying about atomic habits and habit creep, that's all, you know, brilliant stuff. Start with the small things. You can take somebody that's 100 pounds overweight from day one and a year later be running a marathon, right? You just start walking a quarter mile a day for a week. And then the next week, you walk a half mile for a week, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next week, you walk three quarters, and then right? And the next thing you know, by month three, you're starting to jog for a quarter mile. Well, if you keep following that forward for 52 weeks with that small incremental creep, you'll be running a marathon by then. You'll be lean and mean. But people, they can't see that, you know? And when we work with somebody, we focus on what you're talking about. Let's just do this one thing in a repetitive manner. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does.
Good.
You know, and as you said, I think the sticking point is that I don't know if it's a, I don't know, I mean, is it people give up?
Yes.
Or they, you know, they don't see results. They can see the results that they want, I guess, soon enough. And so they give up because they say, well, this doesn't seem to be doing anything.
Exactly.
And I mean, maybe that's oversimplistic, but I think there's a lot.
No, that's it.
I
mean, you're right on the money.
Sending New Year's resolutions, that says a lot about them, that the desire might be there to a point. But I want to talk about inner worthiness, because I think the more I talk to people about what's stopping them, they'll rarely, almost never use that language, but that it's the layer underneath the reason that they're giving is that some way, somehow, they don't really think that they belong in that world, that they're good enough to be there, or that they're worthy enough, but somehow they're not, you know, they're not smart enough, or whatever it might be. They don't have the wherewithal, the confidence, and that to me is that certainly impacted my life at times, and I think it can be completely crippling for people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, ultimately, in other words, I think that's a life sentence, frankly, for many people, and they write themselves off. And as you said, I think physically and mentally, many, if not most people, I think, are very capable of doing this remarkable things. And so talk about the worthiness piece, though, and not in terms of money either, because
another
place where people beat themselves up is they end up giving up because they've considered themselves failures because they haven't done as well as somebody else that they know, and then they give up.
Yeah, no, that's a really good subject. And what you're talking about, again, comes down to awareness, because I don't know if you're familiar with Colonel Sanders in the United States, the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, that story. But he was 65 years old, lived a pretty miserable life, a lot of tragedy and horror in his life. 65 years old, suicidal and flat broke at age 65. But he had that recipe, and he had a paradigm shift in his life, and which is a traumatic incident that caused him to just, you know what, I'm going to try this. Well, by age 84, they had an $8 billion global empire. So age is irrelevant. Your present circumstances are irrelevant. Your bank account, irrelevant. Steve Jobs had $750 in a garage when they started the largest corporation in the world, the Apple Corporation. So I think a lot of this is awareness. It all comes down to awareness. When you talk about somebody not feeling worthy, that's their self-image. It's part of their paradigm. It's part of their programming. So again, if we can get this information out, people start to understand and say, okay, I don't need to know how, because if I knew how, I'd already be there, right? Steve Jobs didn't know how. And then the other thing is that I can change everything. I don't know how to do it, but if I'm open to the idea and I start to understand, we're all the same stuff. We're all part of the same consciousness. There's not billions and billions of consciousness. It's all part of the same universal consciousness. We're just living individual versions of that. So the information is limitless and available everywhere. But usually inner worthiness comes from, unfortunately, environmental programming from a bad childhood or some traumatic experiences. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm saying about getting this information out to the masses with our Matrix Mindset Academy is you just start to give people a little bit, a capful of this stuff, and their belief and their hope and their desire comes up. And they understand, like, there is no such thing as, I don't want to say this. It literally has nothing to do with your present results or your bank account or where you are. Mm-hmm. It has to do with making a paradigm shift to understanding that it doesn't matter where you are, but you can go wherever you want to go. Obviously, it takes work and study and some discipline and a desire. But the information's there. It's not hard to learn. And like I said, that's why we created that Matrix Mindset Academy, is to get that out, to the masses. You know, most people can't afford, $100,000 a year one-on-one coaching, right? So that's why we created that other service, is to... All the reasons that you're saying is to really just get this stuff out there, get people thinking again, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk about this academy then, sure. In terms of where people can find it and what kind of services it provides.
Sure. Yeah, what we're doing, I've been coaching for a while now, corporations, entrepreneurs, at a very high level. It's, I guess you'd consider it high-ticket coaching. And one of the frustrating things for me was, like, I would do a coaching call with somebody, like what we call a discovery call, and they would want the information, they would want to work with us, but they were just really, really flat, broke. They were really destitute. I mean, we've had people living in their car type of stuff. And it became a kind of a soft spot in my heart. I'm like, well, we need to create something for everybody. And I worked with my team, and we created this thing called the Matrix Mindset Academy, which allows us, using the Facebook Live platform, which is free, we have a closed group, which is where we come on every single day and we talk about these principles. We explain the universal laws. We explain the subconscious faculties of the will, the imagination, the intuition, the memory, the reason. We teach everything you and I are talking about. We teach on a daily basis in small little bite-sized nuggets, right? And since it's on Facebook and it's a free platform, we're able to do it, like I said, for 67 cents a day. And we also have a Monday night hour-long webinar where people can, it's me live, and people can get business coaching, they can get health coaching, they can get relationship coaching. All of what we're talking about can be applied to every single aspect. And even when we talk about wealth, we're not talking about money, although that is a piece of it. We're talking about the whole human experience, understanding spirituality, friendships, love, your health, your fitness, the mind-body connection. And yes, finances is a piece of it. But it's actually the smallest, easiest piece. So when I say live, we teach wealth consciousness, it's that whole gamut of living what I call a heavenly life, or mastering the art of remaining calm and getting that awareness and that knowledge. So I think you can hear it in my voice. That's what we're passionate about. We're starting to go viral with this service. And if somebody wants to learn more about it, they can just text MMA, right, for Matrix Mindset Academy. So they can text MMA to 4848. 48, and what they'll do is, they'll get a little landing page.
48. Yeah. And then what if they're in another country listening to this? Is there a website or an email or some other way to contact?
Sure. If they they could look us up on Facebook, anything under Matrix Success Network, whether it's our website, matrixsuccessnetwork.com. We have a free YouTube channel. We put out so much free content. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. If they look up the Matrix Success Network, pretty much under anything, they're gonna come to one of our free services where they can start to learn more about us, and even the Matrix Mindset Academy, people can try that for 30 days for free. When they go to check out, if they use the code, I think it's 30 gift. It's MMA 30 gift. So MMA 30 gift, and they'll get 30 days for free. Inside of that. So we're trying to get it. So like I said, it's not a big money thing for us. It's our kind of a give back platform. And there's a community of people in there from all over the world already. And people are making connections. They're sharing stories. And it's just really been a blessing for me to be able to kind of give back there,
And then if they want that recipe that you talked about, is that available through the academy?
Yes.
Or is that a different program that you've got? In other words, especially if they want to speed up their progress.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're delivering great info. I don't know if it's in a chronological order. I don't know if it's in the order of your recipe. I'm just curious, like, if people want to...
Sure.
How else can they speed up that process if...
Yeah, if they...
Matrix.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the Thinking in a Results program. That's a comprehensive course. That's a that's a $6,800 program. That's, you know, if somebody's got a business or if they're real serious. I mean, we've had people that are flat broke. They start to get more one-on-one coaching, and they get our Thinking in Results platform too. It's a digital platform. It's got course content. I mean, that's really a deep dive, a 6-month deep dive. And if somebody's interested in that, again, we do free coaching calls. What I'll do is I'll get on the phone with somebody. I'll kind of assess where they're at. I'll give them some coaching advice, and we'll explain the program. If somebody wanted information on that, they could just email probably Madison at the Matrix Success Network. So MADISON at MatrixSuccessNetwork.com.
MatrixSuccessNetwork.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, we'll do a free discovery session. We'll, you know, we always leave people better off than we found them. We'll give them some free coaching, free advice, and we explain the program. Mm-hmm. And if it makes sense, we can only work with so many people at that level.
Right.
You know.
And that's a 6-month course.
Yes.
And that's done what, through coaching and through online education?
That's exactly. It's done through 6 months of online courses from Bob Proctor. About 30 minutes a day, and it's done with a Monday night webinar where we do group coaching, and then it's done with some one-on-one private coaching as well. So it's a 3-part program where I can come in. Like, so I've actually developed over 17 businesses and revenue streams. They don't all make it though. So on top of that program, I have a lot of experience helping people scale up, leverage, you know, build real estate brokerages or get into real estate investing or start companies. So they kind of get that additional business coaching for myself as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So it's funny, I didn't realize you were that close to Bob, but I knew you, obviously, I didn't know how close you were. So
sure.
What's his role now in the company?
Well, Bob's been living a heavenly life. He's a good friend of mine now. We were on his jet a couple of months ago going to Vegas. He's been living a heavenly life. He hasn't needed money in 6 decades. He just loves helping people. So his role, he still does things like the Paradigm Shift. They have a program called The Matrix. He's the head of the sales team, although he's got a sales VP of sales that really does all that. So Bob just kind of shows up and speaks now. I mean, he's still the president of the company, but he's not the CEO. He hired that out as well. Brilliant lady by the name of Sandy Gallagher. So all he does is develop programs now. You know, they're releasing new programs like Lead the Field and The Legacy, which is just deeper and deeper dives into this material. And then they have consultants like myself that have been trained to basically carry on his work is what it is. And like I said, right now we've been very blessed with we're his top coach in the world. We're very well connected to him, and I consider him, you know, a really good friend. He's a great guy.
Well, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of already, I mean, is there anything you haven't talked about in terms of future goals?
As far as myself?
Well, yeah, and yeah.
I mean, the future goals, it's not, there is no big or small, but our goal is to sell our software company for $21 billion by 2025. So that's my C-type goal. It's on my vision board. It's on my goal cards. It's what I tell myself every single morning, right? And again, the reason for that goal is to either create a global system of charter schools or some sort of a global system translated in all the different languages with this material. So the reason, I guess my, what we call a C-type goal is to build a conglomerate of companies to get to that bigger goal. And then I think after that, you know, probably when I'm age 60 and beyond, what I'll be doing is taking that money and doing kind of what one of my mentors, Damon John, does. He teaches entrepreneurship, and he also invests in startup companies. So it's a two-part system, right? You have so many brilliant entrepreneurs that they're just broke. They don't have the money to fund themselves. It actually goes hand in hand. Usually somebody that's that creative lacks the skills that, like, somebody would study investing and create a lot of capital. Steve Jobs is a good example, right? So it kind of goes hand. You have people with brilliant ideas but no capital. So my ultimate goal is to get into a situation where people can come to us and we'll mentor them through the business side of it and also fund their companies. And that's just how I plan to spend the rest of our life from age 60 on, you know?
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know someone that's... doing that with healthcare technology actually as well. So those are the missing pieces. Is, you know, people might have the idea, but there's so many pieces that they don't have in place in order for them to be successful. So that's awesome. Well, good for you. That's an amazing journey.
It's
funny because when you sent the bio, I couldn't connect all the dots. You know, it talked about what you were doing more recently, but I didn't realize it was because of the work you'd been doing specifically. Since you were, you know, I guess did the work with Bob Proctor and worked on your own subconscious mind. So that's absolutely fascinating. So very good. So okay, so I guess you've answered the questions about how people can keep in touch, I think. So yes. Really, my only last question then is, so since that day when you, I guess, got fed up enough to want to do something different and ended up coming across Think and Grow Rich, who would you say you've become?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I mean, I really understand that I'm a spirit living in a body, so we're all evolving, and it's not like I've become anybody different. I've just become the higher version of myself, and quite honestly, I'm only scratching the surface. Bob's been studying for 60 years now. It's his 85th birthday coming up, and he says that he is only scratching the surface of the material as it relates to the mindset. So it's not that I've become anybody different. I've just become a higher version of myself, and I'm going to be on that journey until the end of this physical part, you know?
All right. Forgive me for what I'm about to ask, but I'm about to ask because I've heard it so many times now, it's driving me nuts. You are the upteenth person who has really made some impressive changes in their life and some, again, impressive accomplishments, and said, "I feel like I'm only just scratching the surface." What makes you say that?
An understanding and an awareness. I mean, there's infinite information about every single subject. A human being could only ever hope to scratch the surface of any one given subject, given the fact of the potential that we have, right? Every single thing that's ever been created to date, including this system we have now of talking, there's a better way to do this. There's always a better way to do everything, and there always will be. There's an infinite amount of information out there. And since we only live about, 70, 80, 90 years, we're only ever going to scratch the surface in any one field. Now, I don't want to say that as a limiting thing or something that should be... I look at it quite the opposite way. To me, that's exciting. Yeah. To me, that you're going to learn into my 90s and however long I live. So there's no such thing as retirement when you're on this path, right? Retirement's planning to die. When you do what you love, it becomes your life's purpose, and it's exciting, and it jazzes you, and you get up, and you just want to help other people with the information. So I don't want people to get the wrong feeling or impression about just scratching the surface. That should be an exciting thing, you know?
I agree. I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that I hear that. I'm hearing it from people who are older than 40.
Sure.
With everybody that says it. So it's, to me, it's inspiring. Mm. But I just think, it just occurred to me, I should ask someone for a bit more exactly on what they mean by it. I mean, I know what it means, what it sounds like, but just what makes people say such a thing is to me incredibly exciting. But you've accomplished a lot. You're at a certain age where plenty of people feel like, oh no, I'm just going to plateau towards retirement and imminent death. and I'm meeting people now who are almost saying, like, acting like 5-year-olds, where they just feel like they're just about to take off. Because there's so many unlimited places they can go. So it's a really inspiring message, as well as mindset. So thank you, Brian. Fantastic stuff. I would encourage everyone listening to follow up with both of those resources that Brian talked about, the Matrix Success Network, or the Academy, rather, the Matrix Mindset Academy, and then as well as his Thinking and Results program. That sounds really intriguing as well. And then, listeners, otherwise, thank you so much for your time. I'd be flabbergasted if there weren't some really valuable things that you've gotten from this to take action on. I know I certainly have.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.